Tired of being in the dark about your investment? How does your portfolio's performance really measure up? Is your investment plan on or off track? Get the answer at PortfolioReportCard.com. Ron DeLegge's grading system of A, B, C, D, or F will tell you if your 401k plan, IRA, or other investment account passes or fails. But that's not all. If your portfolio gets an A, Ron will pay you $100. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and find out if you pass or fail.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge.
Holy streaking presidents! 2015 is a pre-presidential election year and one of the most accurate predictors of stock market performance. We'll talk about that on today's broadcast. Speaking of 2015, Wall Street still hates bonds, and here's what you should do about it. We'll get into that. Also coming up, organizing your investment portfolio for success. If you'd like to join us, 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron@indexshow.com is my email address. You can also tweet the program live at Index Show. Is my Twitter handle. This is the one place where we give you the ingredients, the recipe, the birds and the bees of successful investing. That's what it's all about. So let's begin with a quick recap of 2014 and taking a look at the S&P 500. What do you know? Five consecutive yearly gains for the S&P 500. Now, SPY is the ETF that tracks the S&P 500. SPY, again, is that ticker symbol, ahead by 12%, a double-digit gain. And if we go back even longer than that, only one down year over the past 10 for the S&P 500. It's been a very, very good period, a favorable period for equity investors. Now, in terms of international stocks, VEA, which tracks developed market stocks, as well as VWO, which tracks emerging market stocks, not such a good year. VEA down about 8.5% on the year. VWO down a modest 2.7%. So really we saw 2014 was kind of the year that U.S. stocks really outperformed the rest of the globe. And of course, international emerging market stocks on a relative basis underperformed. Now in terms of some other major asset classes, total U.S. bond market, BND, climbed 2.8% and held up quite well. We're going to talk a little bit later about bonds and why Wall Street still hates them. I've got an update for you on what Wall Street sees ahead for the bond market in 2015. Taking a look at another major asset class, real estate. Ticker symbol VNQ tracks U.S. REITs, also known as Real Estate Investment Trust. An outstanding year for REITs. Up 27%, and that's not even including the delicious dividends that REIT investors have been collecting. Also, another asset class that has not done well has been gold, ticker symbol GLD, down almost 1%, and that particular area has actually been one of the other areas that's lagged relative to stocks, relative to bonds, and that whole commodities group in general has not performed well. Now, that nevertheless does not diminish the importance of commodities as a major asset class or as an important part of a diversified portfolio. We'll get you caught up on some of the other areas. I want to tell you a little bit about the top performing direction ETFs for 2014, as well as some of the top performing S&P 500 industry sectors. Now, taking a look at streaking presidents, most of our listeners know this, and this was contained in the 2015 January edition of the ETF Profit Strategy Newsletter. And this is one of the what we could say of all the various market cycles that that are out there. This is probably the one with the most impressive track record, and probably the most accurate and enviable is that presidential cycle indicator. Now, U.S. stocks, and actually before I mention this, I should first say that the 2015 is a presidential pre-election year in the United States. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, here's the interpretation. U.S. stocks have not posted a losing year during pre-presidential election years in 76 years. Now, the last time there was a loss in the Dow in a pre-presidential election year, we've got to go all the way back to 1939. And even then, the Dow was only down about 2 or 3%. Now, I know at some point this incredible streak will undoubtedly be broken. You heard it here first. Nevertheless, we should not bet against history unless the market technicals tell us that it's time to do that. And right now, for you bears, the market technicals are not signaling that it's time to be bearish. Okay? Now, I know there's this talk of elevated valuations and the stocks are in the clouds. Yes, 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 and yes. But still, that's not your trigger point for going short or for being bearish on the market. Market technicals are still positive. Market technicals are still bullish. And so long as stocks remain above key trend lines, then that tells you where you should be investing or how you should be investing and what you should be doing from a tactical perspective. So this is what the market is saying. Obey the market. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to fight the trend. Don't step in front of a freight train. These are things that you should be thinking about looking ahead to 2015. The pre-presidential election year cycle, very powerful. And of course, history doesn't necessarily repeat itself exactly all the time, but it often rhymes. 877-711-5611. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. I'm Ron DeLegge, your host. We're also going to get into what Wall Street thinks about bonds. Really, Wall Street hates bonds. That's really the bottom line. And we're going to get into what Wall Street thinks and sees ahead for bonds in 2015. I also want to talk a little bit about what you should be doing to organize your investment portfolio. And the idea here is to have an intelligent strategy that aligns your portfolio for success. Well, what is success? Success in terms of five areas: reducing the cost of your investments, keeping your taxes at bay, making sure your performance matches or beats major market benchmarks, and making sure your diversification is a fully or diversified portfolio, and then finally making sure that your portfolio's risk profile matches up with your risk characteristics. These are all the things that you should be doing in order to have an organized portfolio. We'll get into some of the details. Stay tuned for that. Again, 877-711-5611 is the number. I'm Ron DeLegge, your host. So how did you do in 2014? A real good time for self-reflection and seeing really not just how your portfolio did, but also evaluating your own behavior as an investor and really looking at yourself. I mean, this is something that we all should be doing introspectively and really looking at ourselves. It's been said that investors can be divided into two groups: active investors and passive investors. And that may certainly describe a particular philosophy or approach towards investing, but it really doesn't fully grasp who we really are, our attributes, our habits, the things that make us uniquely us. And I think how we react, how we respond to market conditions and to life circumstances really says so much about us. And really, I've grouped people into three areas: proactive investors, reactive investors, and inactive investors. These are, after my many years of observation, these are the three types of individual investors that exist. The proactive investor is alert, they're building, they're listening, they're nimble, they anticipate change, they create opportunities for themselves, they're constantly improving, They need to know. They interpret information. They control their emotion. They're not intimidated. They confront problems. They make a bad situation better. These are what we should be, the qualities we should be cultivating as proactive investors. We'll contrast that with the reactive and inactive investor. I'm Ron DeLegge, and I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
So in discussing the three types of investors that exist, and I think maybe we should start classifying investors according to these groups, the proactive, the reactive, and then the inactive, ask yourself which of these qualities or characteristics best match your behavior. Now, we already talked about the proactive investor that's alert, that's building, that's listening, that's nimble, that anticipate changes, that focuses on what's important, that invests based upon truth, that is confronting problems, that's not intimidated, that controls their emotion. That's the proactive investor. Now, the reactive investor, in contrast, is not alert, but distracted. They don't build, they destroy. The reactive investor doesn't listen, they hear. The reactive investor is not nimble, they're a spendthrift. The reactive investor doesn't anticipate change, they respond after change. Instead of creating opportunities, they create excuses. That's the reactive investor. Now, how about the inactive investor? Well, the inactive investor is not alert, they're just completely unaware. They don't build, they drift. The inactive investor doesn't listen because they're speechless. The nimble or the inactive investor is not nimble, they're cheap. The inactive investor does not anticipate change, they're responseless to change. The inactive investor is constantly asleep. They need to know, but they don't care. They're emotionless. They're vulnerable. They're frightened by problems. They're afraid to make mistakes. They're out of focus. They can't deal with situations. That's the inactive investor. Hopefully that doesn't describe you. Same goes for the reactive investor, the person who is distracted, who responds after change, who's needy, who misinterprets information, who's emotional, easily intimidated, regrets problems, makes a bad situation worse. That's a reactive investor. So of these three investor types, you want to be the proactive investor. That's what you want to be. By the way, I've got a table that illustrates all of this, the differences between the proactive, reactive, and inactive investor. It's contained as a bonus report for subscribers of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. It's also contained in the January 2015 issue of that newsletter, and you can just go to etfguide.com to get that. Now, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge, and it's really a good time to reflect on your portfolio. Looking ahead to 2015, what did you do right? What did you do wrong? And what can you do better with regard to your investments? I'd say we can all do a better job at being organized and knowing where our investments are located and knowing what we own, making sure that every single thing that we do about with our investments is 100% purposeful and deliberate. There's nothing ever that should ever happen within your investment portfolio that's accidental or that happens because of luck or by chance. This is not the place where you can leave things up to chance. You can do that elsewhere, but not with your investments. Now, the 2015 outlook, we all know it's that time of year. And you know, it's the wonderful season when Wall Street strategists come out of their shells en masse to make predictions about the year ahead. So what are they prophesying for 2015? Well, Wall Street foresees grave danger and disaster in the bond market. Now, Bloomberg reports this, quote, with Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen poised to raise interest rates in 2015 for the first time in almost a decade, Wall Street strategists are convinced that Treasury yields have nowhere to go but up. Their calls for higher yields next year are the most aggressive since 2009, when U.S. debt securities suffered record losses, end of quote. So this time around, the median forecast among Wall Street strategists, according to Bloomberg, calls for 10-year U.S. Treasury yields to reach just over 3% by the end of 2015. The roughly 0.75% rise would almost be double the amount that forecasters anticipated in 2014. You can now start playing the music. I heard that song before by by Harry James. Why? Well, because you have heard that music. At the end of, at the beginning, rather, of 2014, I should remind you that all 72 Wall Street strategists polled by Bloomberg, every single one of them, and by the way, the same list of characters now being polled by Bloomberg, they confidently predicted that bond prices would fall and interest rates would rise. So how did that prediction turn out? Well, the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasuries has done the exact opposite of what Wall Street predicted by crashing around 27%, and the 10-year Treasury yield right now around 2.2%. And since bond prices go up when yields fall, bond ETFs, the same ones that Wall Street said would get crushed, have soared in value. ETFs like the iShares 20-plus year Treasury Bond ETF, TLT is the ticker symbol, have soared almost 25% and are easily outperforming the Dow Industrials, the S&P 500, and even that beloved yellow precious metal called gold. And by the way, I should also mention the prestigious list of top performing ETFs for 2014. Among them are funds that aim for double and triple daily performance to long-term U.S. Treasuries. Over the past year, ETFs like the ProShares 20-plus year U.S. Treasury ETF, ticker symbol UBT, as well as the Direction Daily 20-plus year U.S. Treasury Bull 3X ETF, that's ticker symbol TMF, have skyrocketed by 57% to 94%, respectively. In other words, look at all of the tremendous gains you would have missed by listening to Wall Street's predictions. And this is what they're saying about 2015. They're predicting fire and brimstone for the bond market. And of course, that's what they said about 2014. They were wrong. They also said this about the bond market in 2013. They were wrong. And pretty much since interest rates have been at zero, this is what they've been saying over the past several years. This is the narrative they've been promoting, that yields have nowhere to go but up. Yields have nowhere to go but up. So now that Wall Street's prediction of a great bond market crash in 2014 has utterly failed, along with similar predictions over the past 5 years, we're still left with one big question. How long will it take for U.S. bond yields to finally hit rock bottom? Does anybody know? Well, the December 14th issue of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter looked at this very question and reminded readers, quote, historically, the bottoming process for U.S. interest rates takes 10 to 15 years. The bottoming process in rates during the 1820s took over 10 years after the Erie Canal was finally completed, changing the landscape of America forever. The bottoming in rates during the 1890s took about 15 years and it wasn't until after the panic of 1907 that rates really started to rise. Then, again, the bottoming in rates during World War II took another 10 to 15 years to bottom out. End of quote. So that's history. And if we count 2008 as the beginning of this current bottoming cycle in bond yields, that would imply at least another 4 to 9 years of a low-yield environment based upon historical norms of 10 to 15 years of bottoming out process. So what does it mean? It would imply, if history repeats itself, and it looks like it is, more good returns ahead for bond investors because bond prices rise when yields fall. Let the trend in interest rates and bond prices be your guide, not meaningless predictions. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
So we've already talked about streaking presidents. As you know, 2015 is a pre-presidential election year in the U.S., one of the most accurate barometers of stock market performance. And we have not seen stocks decline in value in 76 years. That's how long it's been in a pre-presidential election year. Keep that in mind before you decide that it's time to short stocks. Because if you decide to make that move, just know that history is not on your side. We also talked about bonds and how Wall Street still hates bonds. We've got Bloomberg polled strategists predicting fire and brimstone for the bond market in 2015. And of course, these are the same folks, these are the same people that were completely wrong about bonds and interest rates in 2014. So you know what to do. I already gave you the setup. Let the trend in interest rates and bond prices be your guide, not meaningless predictions. And if you're still long bonds and long-term U.S. treasuries in your tactical portfolio, well, stay long because that's what the technicals are telling you to do right now. Now, in terms of performance for 2014, taking a look at some of the best performing S&P 500 industry sectors, the top three were utilities, ticker symbol XLU, gaining 30%. And of course, that I should install an adjective, boring utilities, because man, is that a dull sector. These are ho-hum companies, just kind of steadily going along. They get their business from electricity and distributing power and natural gas and that sort of thing. But the thing is, utilities are really one of those sectors that more investors should be looking at, especially for you that those of you that are looking for dividends, because this is the one sector that pays not just the highest dividend yield within the S&P 500, but also one of the most steady. So XLU's utilities, great year for that particular sector. XLV tracks healthcare stocks, up 27%, easily outperforming the broader S&P 500, which was up about 12%. XLK, technology sector, gained almost 20% in 2014. And again, evidence of another industry sector that easily beat the broader market. Now, in terms of the nine S&P 500 sectors, only one was in negative territory for 2014, and that was the energy sector. Ticker symbol XLE, which was down 8%, and of course the big story there was just the tremendous fall in crude oil prices, and that certainly put a damper on energy stocks, and it remains to be seen if they recover. I happen to have the opinion that I don't think we've seen a bottom just yet in energy stocks, but I think it looks like a good sector once we do reach that point of capitulation selling, where sellers just throw in the towel, and we're just not seeing that right now yet with the energy sector. Too many bottom feeders that are jumping in, that are excited about falling prices, and we just need more capitulation selling in this particular sector before we can say that a firm bottom has been reached. Now, in terms of other things that you should be aware of, looking ahead to 2015 and just putting your portfolio and your investments in line for success, you know, the portfolio report card that I do for listeners on this show is something that I think is really, it's something you've embraced, and it's something that really helps you to have a transparent and clear view of what's going on with your money. Now, the report card is really a diagnosis of the financial condition of your money in five areas: the cost of your portfolio, the tax efficiency of your portfolio, the risk of your portfolio, the diversification of your portfolio, and the performance of your portfolio. And what I do is I evaluate each one of those five categories. I tell you how your money is doing in each of those areas, and then I assign you a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. Now, unfortunately, we did not have enough A's. And I love A's because you know what I do when we get an A on the show? So this is what I want to play more of in 2015. That's the music I want to be playing. And of course, it's fun. The Portfolio Report Card marching band music. That's what we do. It's meant to, of course, entertain you, and but more importantly, it's meant to educate you and to have you have a logical framework for what it is that's required to have satisfactory investment results. Yes, there is a right way, and yes, there is a wrong way to build a portfolio. The right way gives careful consideration to these five areas: cost, risk, diversification, tax efficiency, performance. The wrong way is ignorant and hopelessly naive. As I said, and I will continue to say, there is nothing about your investments that should be accidental, that should be lucky, or that should be left to chance. And so that's why I do the portfolio report card, to help you have a logical framework and to help you understand how your investments are really doing. Now, if you have not had a chance to get a portfolio report card, that doesn't cost you anything. All you got to do is go to portfolioreportcard.com and get in touch with me. And if your portfolio gets an A, guess what happens? I don't just play the music, but I also get out my wallet and I pay you $100. So that's what we do when your portfolio gets an A. And we've had a few A's, not too many. We've had lots of C's and lots of D's and lots of F's, unfortunately. But the portfolio report card is so easy, even a caveman can understand it. And unlike other financial tools, which just examine one or two aspects of your investments, the real value of the report card is it gives you a 360-degree, unobstructed, panoramic view of your entire investment portfolio. And it speaks in a jargon-free language that even the least financially experienced person can understand. Now, the report card is powerful, but it's also important that you understand I did not design it to do everything. For example, it's not an unabridged record of your entire long-term investment history. It's not a recommendation of what you should buy or sell. It's not legal or tax advice. It's not a second opinion. It's none of those things. What it is a snapshot of your current portfolio, where it stands in these five key areas, and whether you're making progress or whether you're digressing. You're going to know the strengths and the weaknesses of your portfolio immediately after you've received the grade. Now, the key for you is what you do after you've received the grade. What's your reaction after you receive the grade? The investor that is prudent is constantly tweaking their investment portfolio, constantly making improvements, constantly making enhancements, changes, adjustments in order to improve. Now, I'm not saying you're micromanaging your investments on a daily basis. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you're trading every single day, making modifications based upon what happens in the market on a daily basis. What I am saying is that you're building the core of your portfolio, the foundation, on a solid footing of low-cost, diversified, broad-based index ETFs. That's what you begin. That's where you begin. That touch all the major asset classes. And there's five: stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash. You cover those five asset classes, you've got a diversified portfolio. If you miss any one of those five asset classes, your investment portfolio is not, by definition, fully diversified. So go to PortfolioReportCard.com and take my challenge. If you get an A, you get $100. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegio.
A few years ago, I was approached by a widow whose portfolio of conservative utility stocks was behaving like the volatile biotech sector. And she asked me to take a look. Her trusty dividends had played a Houdini vanishing act, and she couldn't figure out why. And one particular utility stock that she owned had grown from a small problem into a big one. My stock has fallen 97% in value. What shall I do? She lamented. And I really felt her pain. I really did. And like so many investors who build their portfolio one stock at a time, she had been completely blindsided. She was so distracted by the individual holdings within her investment account that she lost complete sight of what was really going on with her entire portfolio's architecture and trajectory. Sadly, she was unable to grasp the significance of even the most elementary concepts of prudent risk management until it was far too late. What's the lesson for us? We should never make important financial decisions after it's too late. Now, how do you measure risk? And this is one of the grading categories for Ron DeLegge's portfolio report card. There are five. Risk is one of them. And many financial advisors and people working on Wall Street believe that using raw numbers is the right way to judge whether a person's investment portfolio is too risky or not. They like to quote statistical measurements like alpha and beta and R squared and standard deviation and Sharpe ratio. While these tools may be helpful and provide us with a general point of reference about risk, they are all historical predictors or predicators, I should say, of the past, not the future. And they're all derived based upon asset prices and how they behaved in the past, not the future. And they tell us about past investment risk and past volatility and past correlations, not the future. And as a result, making present or future decisions under the false assumption that historical investment risk or historical volatility will closely resemble the future is wrong. I can't emphasize that enough. There is no single parameter or figure that can pinpoint future investment risk and volatility, period. Let me repeat that because that's pretty important. There is no single parameter or figure that can pinpoint future investment risk and volatility, period. Or as Albert Einstein wisely discovered, not everything that counts can be counted, and not everything that can be counted counts. And so the portfolio report card, as I designed it, does not attempt to statistically measure the risk of your investment portfolio. Rather, it attempts to define whether your portfolio's holdings properly reflect the unique risk parameters of your temperament, your age, your unique investor personality, and who you are. And so that's when it comes to risk. It's a very tricky subject. It's a very tricky subject because you've got really three aspects of defining risk. You've got risk tolerance, which deals with only one element of the risk puzzle, your capacity to handle investment risk or market volatility. That's risk tolerance. But then you've got this other puzzle or piece of the puzzle, risk perception, which really covers your view, my view, towards investment risk, our perception of risk. And then, of course, there's the final piece of the puzzle, your risk compatibility. And that deals with the compatibility between you and your investment portfolio's architecture. Does it properly reflect your unique risk character? That's what it's all about. So regardless of how much or how little you have to invest, as I've seen it from my experience and from grading almost $35 million of investment portfolios in 2014, as I see it, there are really four basic types of risk takers. There are people, number one, who are conservative toward risk. Number two, there are people who are aggressive towards risk. Number three, there are people who are moderate towards risk. They fall between conservative and aggressive. And number four, there's everybody else with multiple variations and degrees of these three risk-taking types. So those are the four basic types of risk takers. And yes, if you're going to make a reward, if you're going to make a gain, you do have to take risk. There is no such thing as this fairyland view that you can have high returns with taking no risk. And so what I do with the portfolio report card, the quickest way for me to find out what a person's true risk character is and whether that portfolio they have matches up with them, is just to analyze and grade their portfolio. You know, the financial services industry likes to use boilerplate questionnaires to estimate what people's view is on risk and what their risk tolerance is, and that's okay. I mean, it's helpful, but for me, I go straight for the jugular. Those questionnaires, as far as I'm concerned, are tertiary. I want to see how you're investing right now. I want to see your portfolio right now, because I can almost tell to the centimeter who you really are by the way that your money currently is being invested. That tells me almost everything I need to know about your true risk character and your temperament, about who you really are. Because your investment portfolio, when we think about it, is really just a reflection of who you are. It's a personal statement by you about how you approach financial risk, how you approach investment cost, how you approach taxes. That's what your investment portfolio is. So it's better to me to look at your investment portfolio, analyze it, and grade it, then go through this long list of questionnaires and questions by asking you how you would react or how you would like to invest or what your future dreams and goals are. I mean, that to me is just fluff. I mean, I could ask you those questions, but it doesn't really get to the substance of what you are and who you are. And so the point is if you're disorderly, when it comes to things like risk, when it comes to things like investment cost and taxes, the unfortunate consequences are going to be a disorderly performance with disorderly results. I mean, there is no way you can have a good result from chaos. It's just like the Bible says that what a person is sowing is what they reap. You cannot sow seeds of tomatoes and expect to reap cucumbers. It just doesn't work that way. And so it's the same with your investment portfolio. So these are the things that you need to think about looking ahead to 2015, making sure the risk character of your portfolio matches up with your unique risk profile. And again, go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get your free Portfolio Report Card. If you get an A, I pay you $100. If you have ever miss our regular radio broadcast for whatever reason, you can pick up the Index Investing Show's podcast. Just search for us on iTunes. You can also search for us on Stitcher Radio. Again, just look under the Index Investing Show. Also, if you'd like to shoot me a question, comment, complaint, send that to ron@indexshow.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. @IndexShow is my Twitter handle. Very active on Twitter. Now, some of the things I'm covering at ETFGuide.com, some of the recent articles that I have written, one place where so-called smart beta hasn't been very smart. Yep, never mind the cute marketing brochures or what nouveau indexers say. This trumped-up allegation that beta is somehow smart or better is a grand old fairy tale. So that article at ETFGuide.com. Also, a boring sector with spectacular results. Then also prioritize this task before buying your next individual stock. The age of not having a believable investment plan is over. That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Be safe, be healthy. We'll talk to you in 2015.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.